So the Elon Musk Donald Trump interview happened, and from what I saw, it was pretty uneventful. It was kind of as you'd expect. But that doesn't mean everyone was okay with it. In the lead up to and the aftermath of, we've seen hordes of people expressing their dissatisfaction of the interview. Everyone from TV personalities to reporters to journalists, internet activists, Europe. Yes, that's right, Europe, the continent. Or at least the EU Commission. I mean, with the way some of these people were spurging out, you'd have thought it was the Bundy Dharma interview, not the Musk-Trump interview. But not everyone was against it. The interview had some heavy-hitting supporters, including studio executive Les Grossman and renowned world authority Professor Sugon Dees Nuts. We're going to have a closer look at all of this right after this quick sponsor. We are living in unpredictable times with digital currencies on the rise, a whopping $35 trillion of national US debt, and inflation levels at a 40-year high. Elon Musk has warned the US dollar is heading for destruction and that these factors could bankrupt the US. Financial experts are urging Americans to prepare right now. That's why you should strongly consider physical gold and silver to help protect your retirement accounts like IRAs and 401ks. Preserve Gold is giving away a no-cost, no-obligation free wealth protection guide that contains over 25 pages of detailed information and insights. Learn how you can put physical gold and silver into an IRA or 401k, and even purchase precious metals for delivery directly to your home. All you need to do is text the word BEARING to 50505. Preserve Gold has hundreds of five-star reviews and millions of dollars in trusted transactions with satisfied clients. As an exclusive offer to my viewers, in addition to their free guide, you can also get up to 15 grand in free gold and silver with a qualified purchase. So don't wait, claim this exclusive offer from Preserve Gold today. Text BEARING to 50505 or visit offers.preservegold.com/bearing. So I guess we'll start with Europe. The European Commission's top digital enforcer, Thierry Breton, sent a letter to Elon outlining concerns about moderation issues. It gently reminded him of Twitter's obligations under the Digital Services Act as a very large online platform, emphasising the need to balance freedom of expression with mitigating harmful content. Breton warned Elon that his team would be vigilantly monitoring the interview for DSA breaches that could incite violence, hatred, or disinformation during politically sensitive times. I mean, really? You've got an American businessman interviewing an American presidential candidate and Europe wants to stick their nose in it? Like, what do they think's going to happen? Do they really think that Trump or Elon Musk are going to, like, incite a riot or some shit in fucking Europe? Why would they do that? It just feels like a flex. We've got an itsy-bitsy teeny-weeny little bit of perceived power over you and we're going to flex it. It's fucking ridiculous. But I guess the silver lining is it made a Channel 4 reporter say this.
Commissioner Thierry Breton told Musk in a letter that in the context of events in the UK, he was compelled to remind him of his legal obligations. Musk's response, this Tropic Thunder meme saying, "F*** your own face."
Take a big step back and literally fuck your own face!
Oh, Musk is one of the good ones. Then we've got this question from some ABC reporter at a White House press briefing, put to White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
Elon Musk is slated to interview Donald Trump tonight on X. I don't know if the president is going to tune in. Feel free to say if he is or not. But I think that misinformation on Twitter is not just a campaign issue. It's a, you know, it's an America issue. What role does the White House or the president have in sort of stopping that or stopping the spread of that or sort of intervening in that?
See, when he asks about the White House's role in stopping that, it's kind of ambiguous as to what he's talking about. Is it the spread of misinformation or is it the interview itself? I mean, I guess we could just be charitable and assume he's talking about the spread of misinformation.
What role does the White House or the president have in sort of stopping that or stopping the spread of that or sort of intervening in that? Some of that was about campaign misinformation, but you know, it's a wider thing, right?
Yeah, no, and you've heard us talk about this many times from here about the responsibilities that social media platforms have when it comes to misinformation, disinformation. Don't have anything to read out from here about specific ways that we're working on it, but we believe that they have the responsibility. These are private companies, so we're also mindful of that too. Look, it is. I think it is incredibly important to call that out as you're doing. I just don't have any specifics on what we have been doing internally as it relates to the interviews, not something that I'm tracking, and I'm sure the president's not tracking it either.
See, I think she might have interpreted it the same way I did, if I wasn't being charitable. I don't have any specifics as to what we're doing internally as it relates to the interview. Not as it relates to misinformation, as it relates to the interview. Was this ABC reporter talking about the White House potentially stopping the interview? It's a mystery, but it's sus, man.
I just don't have any specifics on what we have been doing internally as it relates to the interviews, and that's something that I'm tracking, and I'm sure the president's not tracking it either.
Yeah, I 100% believe the president's not tracking it, because he's a vegetable. All right, so now back to the present tense, I guess. Listen to the start of this article by David Smith from The Guardian. The Musk-Trump interview, a surprisingly dull meeting of two planet-sized egos. After overcoming technical issues, Trump used the two-hour interview to rehash the stuff he trots out at every campaign rally. Oscar Wilde once described the English country gentleman galloping after a fox as the unspeakable in full pursuit of the uneatable. Elon Musk interviewing Donald Trump surely qualifies as the incoherent in full pursuit of the unendurable. The men's joint appearance in an audio conversation on X on Monday night was, as expected, a display of two planet-sized egos, toxic masculinity and breathtaking mendacity.
He spoke like a little baby poofed up. That's very spoke, like a little baby retarded poofter.
More surprisingly, it was also dull, like sitting with two drunks at a bar, trying to set the world to rights over more than 2 hours. The main message, if Trump doesn't win the election, and if Musk doesn't become the emperor of the universe, you're not going to have a country anymore. Gee, we haven't heard anything like that before.
We're losing our democracy!
Musk and Trump's banal chatter about subjects such as radioactive vegetables and the defeat of Napoleon made you crave a return to what came first, a blissful 40 minutes of war. Paper music. That was because crippling technical glitches left thousands of people unable to join. Geez, he doesn't sound bitter, does he? The toxicity of it all. How dare these two men have a dull conversation after technical glitches? You'll survive, David Smith from The Guardian. And then there's The Project, a left-leaning talk show from Australia.
Today, two of the most controversial figures in US culture sat down for a live audio-only interview on Musk's social media site. And it kicked off like this.
It was 40 minutes of technical glitches, or as Elon described it.
We unfortunately had a massive distributed denial of service attack against our servers.
After an album's worth of elevator music, the soothing, musky sounds began, promising the forthcoming chat on X's Spaces would provide a side of Trump rarely glimpsed.
It's really intended to just get a feel for what Donald Trump is just like in a conversation.
But as it turned out, Donald Trump in a conversation sounds an awful lot like Donald Trump in every speech and interview from the past decade.
Well, what exactly do you want him to be like? I mean, it'd be a bit sus if he was someone completely different. Isn't it good to know that he's genuine during speeches and interviews?
Not counting the tech glitches, the unedited interview clocked in at just over 2 hours, an estimated 1.2 million tuning in to hear few surprises, aside from what many thought sounded like a lisp.
So many millions of people. The sun, it's ridiculous. I saw things that you don't want to know about.
That's clearly not a lisp. That's a shit microphone or a bad internet connection. We're about to hear the same thing from their expert guest, ironically.
Were we imagining things? Was there a lisp with Donald Trump?
Look, they said we didn't hear the lisp. I kept listening over and over again. I was wondering what was going on. And he had a lisp. He was slurring his words a bit through parts of the conversation, and there was a lisp. I guess he's trying something out new.
Oh, well, I guess you're trying the exact same fucking thing.
Look, they said we didn't hear the lisp. Lisp. Lisp.
Lisp. Lisp. Look, they said we didn't hear the lisp.
Now, this next bit is my favourite part. After going so hard on the technical glitches in their intro, this happens.
There were certain times where you could listen.
Oh, no!
Oh, no!
Oh, the irony.
Oh, no! Oh, here he's back.
Oh. Is he back?
Hang on, you're saying Elon. Oh, no. What would Elon do if he spoke to Kamala? Oh, no, he's gone.
And that's how Steve Clements ended his interview on The Project. But before he left, he did manage to get this cringe bomb in.
There was a bit of Trump. He was kind of lashing out a little bit. Do you think this shows that Kamala's campaign, like Kamala's brat, for example? I think that's how you say it, Kamala's brat.
Is that I like the movement.
Yeah, you got to move.
Yeah.
She brat. But is she getting under his skin?
My God, that show is just a blitzkrieg of pure unadulterated cringe.
Shut the fuck up!
Yeah, so we've got Trump being dragged for lashing out at Kamala and for having some imaginary lisp, and we've got poor old Elon being picked on yet again for being some sort of czar of misinformation, like the God Emperor of bullshit. So I thought I'd circle back to the end bit of that Channel 4 segment.
So Elon Musk, I would say, while creating all this trouble on this side of the pond, would say, I'm exercising my First Amendment rights of free speech, and what's the difference between me expressing my far-right opinions, you might call them moderate, on X, you know, compared to Fox News, for instance, doing the same thing on TV?
Well, you know, I think Musk is right about that. There's actually not much difference, except his megaphone is much, much larger and travels much farther than some Fox programs. And also, he's not subject, it seems, to the same rules that normal X users are subject to. A couple of weeks ago, before all of the horrible events in Southport, we saw him sharing a deepfake video that claimed to be Kamala Harris's new campaign ad, but it was actually deepfaked audio that he shared without any sort of notification to users about that.
I think there was notification. If you're too fucking retarded to pick up on it, then that's your problem. By the way, that video was hilarious. I think it was made by Mr. Reagan. He's got a YouTube channel and a Twitter account, so go show him some love if you can. But here's a taste of it.
I, Kamala Harris, am your Democrat candidate for president because Joe Biden finally exposed his senility at the debate. Thanks, Joe. I was selected because I am the ultimate diversity hire. I'm both a woman and a person of color. So if you criticize anything I say, you're both sexist and racist. I may not know the first thing about running the country, but remember, that's a good thing if you're a deep state puppet. I had 4 years under the tutelage of the ultimate deep state puppet, a wonderful mentor, Joe Biden. Joe taught me rule number one, carefully hide your total incompetence. I take insignificant things and I discuss them as if they're significant. And I believe that exploring the significance of the insignificant is in itself significant.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time, and there is such great significance to the passage of time.
Now, one of the funniest bits of that whole saga was watching Piers Morgan read out Elon Musk's response to Gavin Newsom after Gavin demanded on Twitter that he take it down.
That video has now been seen 128 million times on Elon Musk's X account. He said, "This is amazing," with a laughing emoji. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, told Musk to take it down, to which Musk replied, "I checked with renowned world authority, Professor Sugandhi's nuts." And, and he said, "Parody is legal in America," which is a typical Elon Musk response. Dessa, you're not laughing.
Keep in mind, no, at this point, no, I'm sorry.
Oh, come on, Destiny, you're a strange cat, but I know you've got a sense of humour. Lighten up. That was funny. Anyway, I'm out of time, so I'm going to leave it there. There's so much more I could have put in this video. The salts are flowing. As I said, I don't think the interview was that remarkable. It wasn't horrendously bad. It wasn't really good. There was nothing, like, surprising or super unexpected. It kind of just was. So leave any comments you've got down below or at my Twitter, @bear_ing, and I'll see you in the next one. Thanks for watching. Ta-ta. Bye-bye.
I will fuck you up! Recession! Demonetize! Recession!